Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, come to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me.
Good morning, well, good evening, good evening, good evening. Wake up, everybody. You know what? It is so true. The world won't get no better if we don't change it, if we don't make a difference, if we don't sacrifice, if we don't get in front of the problem. Awesome, awesome, awesome. I chose that as my opening song because truly, in this season that we're in, we cannot afford to go to sleep. We have to be woke, as my students sometimes tell me. Well, welcome to Criminalized by Color. I am your host, Dr. Maxine Bryant. This is my sixth show with Tribe Family Channel on Blog Talk Radio, hosted or produced rather by the one and only queen herself, Beverly Black Johnson. She's going to be joining us on the show a little bit later. I am excited. I am so excited. I am so pumped. I want to thank each and every one of you who've been following the show. I've gotten so many emails and texts and calls and people stopping me on the street talking about they love the show. Oh, my goodness. When I acquired Criminalized by Color, never in a million years did I even begin to imagine that it would have the impact that it's having on not only the city of Savannah, the state of Georgia, but through states and cities across the country, from Seattle to California, from Maine down to Florida, the Midwest, the Southwest. Oh, my goodness, you all are making me feel good. And this is our last show for 2021, and it's going to be a blast. Now, one thing that we have that's going on that's new for us is many of you call in, and in the past, we've called out the last four digits of your number, and if you had something to say, you had the opportunity to do it. We're going to do it a little bit different this last show. We're going to change it up a little bit. When you're ready to say something, and I'm going to let you know when I'm opening up the lines, press 1 on your phone if you're calling in. That will signal to us that you're ready to say something, that you have something you want to say. So if you've called in and you don't have anything to say when I open up the lines, don't do anything. We will not call out your number as we have in past times. However, if you want to say something when I open up the lines, please press 1. That will signal to us that you have something you want to contribute to the show, right? Well, again, I'm Dr. Maxine Bryant, and we have a fantastic and epic show for you tonight. You know, we got to go out in 2021 with a bang, so that's what we're doing. So let's go on and get right into it. A few segments ago, if you will remember, I introduced a new segment in my episode. I mean, I guess I should say a few episodes ago, I introduced a new segment, and it's called What's Going On? And in this segment, I take a look at some current issues. So I have two things I want to bring before you before we move into the meat of the show, if you will. First of all, I want my people in the audience, the listening audience, to be very aware of a trend across our country of young people making what are called ghost guns. Now, ghost guns can be made with items that are purchased on the internet, right? And people can make guns out of them, guns that work, right? In Douglas, Georgia, at the end of November, a 13-year-old who had been making guns from parts he bought on the internet and selling them, right? And what I found out was that neighbors knew he was doing this. His mother may have even known he was doing this because it was bringing money into the home. He was selling the guns that he was making. And two people came to purchase a gun from him, and they ran off with the gun without paying for it. And the young man took one of his guns and shot at the two people. He didn't get them, but he accidentally killed his 14-year-old sister. Wow. Wow. That was worth a ghost gun. So be on the watch out for that. I've already talked to the chief of police here in Savannah, because that's a trend that is going across our country. I understand that President Biden even talked about that at the top of the year. But be aware in your own communities what's going on. And the thing about ghost guns is that they're not registered. They're not regulated. So that can really be something that's going to blow up in our faces. So be aware of that. The other thing that I want to highlight in this segment called What's Going On is just the whole issue of gun safety. I know we have a large advocacy for gun rights across our country, and I'm not going to talk about that or against that even in this particular segment. But what I do want to say is if you are an adult in a home and you have children in that home, put your guns up. Last week, right here in the city I live in Savannah, a father, 25 years old, had gotten into the habit of laying his gun down. And his wife had been telling him, you know, put your gun up when you come home, put it up. And he wasn't thinking it was going to be a problem after all. The only people in the home were he and his wife and his two-year-old son. He sat down, had the gun on the table. Two-year-old son picked up the gun thinking it was a toy, shot and killed his father. Did you hear what I said? Shot and killed his father. Now, certainly that was accidental, but can you imagine the trauma that little two-year-old is going to experience as he comes to the realization that he was responsible for the death of his father? And for that mother who was right there. We don't like to talk about counseling often in the Black community, and we definitely don't always address childhood trauma. But that's a young boy who, if it is not addressed, who does not get counseling and therapy, will grow up to be a very angry person and can create havoc in the community. What's going on? What's going on with our fascination with guns in the Black community as well as in other communities? We've got to get a grip. We've got to, first of all, recognize that it is an issue. Get a grip around it and begin to get in front of it. Talk about some solutions to that. So that's what I wanted to put before you so you can think about it. If I have prayers listening, you can pray about it. We can seek God for answers. We can join together, because if we don't, those two things, ghost guns and the whole thing about gun safety, can blow up in our faces, literally. So So having given you some things to think about in the What's Going On segment, and that segment is just to highlight some current events, I want to move on and spend some time this evening kind of giving you an overview of what we've been talking about in Criminalized by Color. So I have just a quick rundown. I do want to say to you that if you want to listen to past shows, you can go to www.logtalkradio.com/gumbo for the soul, and you can listen to archived shows, okay? So, episode number one, if you will recall, if you've been following me, I introduced you to the Sankofa bird. And the Sankofa bird is a bird that's looking, facing forward, but looking backwards. And it's moving forward, looking back to move forward. So we can't forget our history. We can't forget where we come from. That's the basic message of the Sankofa bird. I also introduced you to Antonio the Negro, who lived before color mattered in the United States and operated as a black man with all the rights of humanity. And it wasn't until slavery became institutionalized that his blackness mattered. And because it mattered, his wife was not given the land and the riches, if you will, the wealth that he had acquired. We began to talk about the process of racialization also in that segment, where children of white plantation owners learned racial superiority, and that's what they taught their children, who taught their children, who taught their children. And at the same time, black children were learning racial inferiority, who taught their children, who taught their children. Now, that's a generalization, but truly that kind of begins to explain this whole thing about racial superiority and white supremacy. I also introduced to you about the Black Code back in that day. That was all in episode one. Episode two, I had Professor Jamal Ture with us, and if you will recall, we opened up with the saying, a quote, "The world got along with race for the overwhelming majority of its history. The United States, however, has never been without it." That needs to sink in for a moment. Because in the United States, race mattered. It mattered from the very beginning of colonialization, and it matters now. Should it matter to the degree and to the disparity that it matters? No, right? But it does. It matters. And we talked about the fact that race is a social construct that it either denies benefits and privileges or it gives benefits and privileges. If you're white, non-black, then in the United States, that comes with a certain amount of benefits and privilege. If you're black, a person of color, then those same privileges and benefits are often denied, particularly, but not exclusively, in the criminal justice system. Another quote that I introduced in that episode was that race is the child of racism, not the father. So race was born out of racist thoughts, out of this need to be superior. We talked about the Dred Scott case, and if you remember, Brother Ture told us about a school athletic team here in Georgia. There was a football game, and afterwards the losing team happened to be the predominantly white team. They had left some gear that was going to be disposed of in the locker room, and three black boys from the winning team took pictures of themselves with some of their gear, the gear of the losing team, and ended up getting suspended for that. Why? Criminalizing our children is what we began to talk about. Also, we talked about a little bit about the housing piece of it and how blacks are criminalized even in housing. I had a conversation today with a judge about that very same thing. Let me move on. Episode number three, criminalizing children is what we talked about in episode number three, and I talked about the school-to-prison pipeline. That's when I actually introduced the segment, What's Going On. We talked about Joy DeGry and the whole thing about are the children well, and the fact that the children in the United States, the children in the black communities are not well. I talked about the impact of institutionalized racism on the family, and particularly the welfare system, and how it perpetuates single parenting, and how that tears up. It was designed to tear up the family, and particularly the Black family is the one who hurt behind that. And with that segment, we did talk about some solutions, such as suspend the enforcement order of child support if parents are cohabitating, connect the fathers if they're the ones who are paying support to employment and training, and establish real child support orders that reflect the father's real income. So those are some things we talked about in episode 3. In episode 4, we talked about critical race theory, and I had as my guest Dr. Thomas Bullock, and that was profound. That was awesome. He talked about books being banned from our school because our school systems are afraid of critical race theory, which is really just accurate Black history, right? That's what it is. He introduced to us also the whole piece about Blacks are less likely to be placed in advanced placement courses because they cost money, right? He asked us the question, it's really a question that comes out of a book, Why Are All the Black Kids in the Back of the Classroom by Beverly Daniel Tatum. We talked about the fact that funding, schools are publicly funded, right? And so since they're funded by property taxes, then we understand why some people move to neighborhoods that have higher taxes, property taxes, because that's going to ensure that their child has a better quality education. Is that the way we really want to see that being done, right? Let me move on. Episode 5. In the last episode, I wanted to visit the question, why even have the conversation around criminalized by color? And we have it because the topic remains relevant. We talked about justice USA style. I introduced to you the fact that the first police were slave patrol in the South. That was their responsibility. The whole notion of citizen's arrest, which is what the McMichaels used as a defense against why they killed or tried to apprehend and kill Ahmaud Arbery, was citizen's arrest, right? Well, that had its beginnings during slavery and directly after slavery ended. It allowed for any white person to hold an escaped enslaved Black until they could be returned to their rightful owner, if you will. And so that citizen's arrest really served to replace slave patrol. So that just gives you an overview of the exciting, informative, educational segments that we've had on criminalized by color. Now, during every show, there's been one person who has been on every single show because she's been producing every single show. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce you to my producer, Queen herself, Queen Beverly Black Johnson. Beverly, are you on?
Yes, Queen. Thank you so much for the privilege of my voice on your platform. You are an amazing, amazing teacher.
Awesome. Thank you. So I just have one question for you before we move on to the our second segment. We're going to have a commercial break, and then we will come back after the commercial break with our guests for the evening. But you've been on every show. You have listened. You've taken notes. I know you have. Can you share with me and the listening audience what has struck you about the series? What are some things that were new learnings for you or confirmations on what you already knew?
Well, first and foremost, I want to thank you for allowing Tribe Family Channel to be the launching pad for your amazing brand, your amazing initiative, Criminalized by Color. This is so befitting of you being a social justice professor, and I really respect your knowledge and your prowess for the level in which you bring your message to the audience. What has been consistent because of your knowledge, intellect, teaching methods, and what have you? You're a author, lecturer, a very empowered Black woman, and the commonality of all of your shows is really you and how you tie in our history and thread that thing all the way up through time and the evolution of our experience in the United States up to the current time, just like in your review, just like in your review. So I was taking notes, and I said, well, you're going to have to stop somewhere. You can't write down everything she's saying. So I would like to revisit what's going on and gun violence. Weapons were produced to render people under control, period. That's all a weapon is used. If someone points a gun in your face, all of a sudden, they have rendered you helpless, depending on whether you're ready to go or not. You could be one of those, you know, militants that say, you know, if you point it, you better use it, you know. But a weapon is used to render people under immediate control, and that is akin to witchcraft and just the most demonic of spirits, because you're bending someone to your will or you're killing them. You're injuring them, you're maiming them, or you're killing them, or you're not killing them, but you're bending them to your will. You see, so a weapon and a gun and anything. And so this is one of the reasons why you have so much pushback from the NRA. They are not going to give up the ability to point a gun in a Black person's face and say, the hell if I'm, you know, over my dead body. Forgive me, but you know, I'm Harriet Tubman, darling. So I know you have your guest waiting. And so I don't want to take up too much time, but your first show and the what's the name of the bird that's looking back to
Sankofa, the Sankofa bird.
Okay, that's what I wrote down. Okay.
Yeah, Sankofa. That,
that is powerful, and I know that's one of your main veins. You always speak truth to power when it comes to our people, our origins, and the different lands from which our diaspora originates. So I really love the empowerment of your first show and Antonio the Negro being free and until the institutionalization of slavery. Now, I could talk about that all day, because when anytime you are able to be outside of the frame and look back at the picture of racism, like Medgar Evers when he was in Europe, say, he couldn't walk down the street with a white woman in America, but he fell in love with a white woman in Europe before murder. He wanted to bring her back, and everybody looked at him like he was crazy. Do you know you and this woman will be killed if you try to bring her back to the States? So racism is something that is created out of the effort to disparage other races.
Absolutely. And if you remember, and we do need to go on and finish this conversation, but if you remember, in one of my segments, I introduced Cress Welsing, right? Frances Cress Welsing with the ISIS papers, who in her theory, her dissertation, offered up the theory of why white supremacy exists and what white people were afraid of hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, right? And so you bring up an excellent point, you know, that there were, it was all fear-based, you know, so what you could do in other countries, you couldn't do here in the United States. It was fear-based.
Absolutely.
Here.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely,
okay.
Absolutely. And I just want to leave, since this is criminalized by color and I am a quoteologist, let me leave your audience with a quote.
Okay.
This quote is about why we're discriminated against.
Okay.
They hunt you because they hate you. They hate you because they ain't you. Okay.
Wow.
Now you think about your historic royalty and roots and all that they pilfered from the motherland.
Mm.
They hunt you because they hate you.
Mm.
And they hate you because they ain't you.
Because they ain't you.
Okay.
All right, girlfriend.
So thank you so much for allowing the launch of your beautiful, empowering brand, and your logo is just eye-popping, criminalized by color. Dr. Maxine Bryant, you are phenomenal, and I'm looking forward to following your continued rise, and I wish you nothing but the world of success.
Oh, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. So next we're going to have a commercial. Before the commercial and after the commercial, let me tell you this. Criminalized by Color is not going off the air. We will be back in 2022. You need to listen in. I'm going to tweet it. I'm a Facebook, Instagram, and I'm a LinkedIn. You will follow me, and I'm going to give you an email address to stay in contact with me in just a moment here. But you will get information on that, on how to continue to tune in to Criminalized by Color in 2022. But for now, we're going to take a commercial break.
Have you been frozen in fear, stuck on stupid, lost in love, tormented with troubling relationships, felt disconnected, discombobulated, and dismissed? Has parenting ever felt more like a burden than a blessing? Have you questioned your own sanity, doubted your own self-worth, wish you were someone else somewhere else? Do you ever feel you're not good enough, not pretty enough, not smart enough, not talented enough, unworthy, unlovable, undeserving? Then you know what it feels like to be out of your groove. The Groove Doctor has just the right prescription. Get your copy of Dr. Maxine Bryant's book, I Want My Groove Back God's Way. Begin your journey today living in real groove. Dr. Maxine Bryant uses her own experiences and spiritual insights to guide the reader to a place of real groove by helping readers attain a holistic state of groove based on Bible principles. Go to www.mygrooveback.com to order your copy today. $10 plus shipping costs. You will be glad you did.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Queen Beverly. I always enjoy conversing with you. You are a powerful entity in and of yourself, Queen. So thank you. Thank you for launching Criminalized by Color. It would not have been so had you not been a hand in making it so. So I will always be indebted to you. I appreciate you, love. So I mentioned earlier that Criminalized by Color will be moving. Now, if you want to sponsor, if you want to ask questions, if you want to get on our mailing list, if you want to make a suggestion, if you want to stay in contact, if you want to be in the know, here's an email address I want you to jot down. Maxine, M-A-X-I-N-E, at criminalizedbycolor.com. Maxine@criminalizedbycolor.com. www.tricianewayradio.com, and that way you can stay in touch with me. And you know what? I just gave you the wrong email. Scratch that. My bad. It's criminalizedbycolor@gmail.com. Okay? So that's the correct address. criminalizedbycolor@gmail.com. I was getting that one confused with a different email. So criminalizedbycolor@gmail.com is the address to write down if you want to stay in touch with me. And I'll say that again. Also, if you're on and you do want to have a comment in just a few minutes, we will open up our lines. Make sure you press 1 in order to be heard and let us know that you do indeed have something to say. Now, Criminalized by Color has done, I think, a fairly well job at taking a look at the issues and the challenges facing the Black community. One of the things that I told the provost that I at the school I work for is that Black people are not white, are not dark-skinned white people. We are socialized differently. We have our own experiences that are historical and generational in nature. And so for white America to think, okay, we're going to treat you just like we treat ourselves is not the answer. We are not white people who are dark with dark skin. So then the question comes into being, what can we do? How can we empower ourselves? Because white people are not always going to get it. And so I have now on the line with me a woman in Savannah, Georgia, who is just absolutely awesome. She is a storyteller extraordinaire. She is knowledgeable. She is a woman of God. She is Christian in her belief. And I say that because what we're getting ready to talk about in just a moment, many Christians are afraid of. And I want to let you know that she is God-fearing, she's a Christian, and she happens to be one of my best friends. So definitely a woman who I admire and just hold in highest esteem. And I'm talking to none other than the great, the fantastic Lillian Grant-Baptiste. Yay!
Well, thank you.
I bet you've never been introduced
friend.
Like that.
I have not. My mother would be so proud.
I know.
So
right.
Yes, she would. Well, thank you, my dear friend. I'm so honored to be here this evening. I want to, first of all, thank you and just lift you up for the amazing work that you're doing and for how you boldly and bodaciously and consistently speak truth to power. And we need that more now than ever. So I just appreciate you. I appreciate your being a friend and just a wise woman of God and a powerful advocate for our people. So thank you, my sister, so much for inviting me tonight.
Oh, why, thank you. Thank you. As I was pondering how I wanted to end this particular season, Ms. Lillian, I wanted to go out on a positive note. And so I began to think about ways to do that. And the concept of Kwanzaa came to my mind. When I'm teaching Intro to Africana Studies and Intro to African American Studies, I always include a segment on Kwanzaa because it empowers my students. And I have seen firsthand how it can do that. And I've heard them talk about the fact that their parents, many of them, not all, but many of them have parents who were afraid of Kwanzaa because they thought it was sacrilegious. They thought it was of the devil and that type of thing. So I couldn't think of a better person to begin to have the conversation and dispel the myths than Lillian Grant-Baptiste herself. So I am excited. I am, like, really geeked to have my best friend on the show, y'all. I'm, like, really, really happy. So anyway, first of all, Ms. Lillian, will you tell us the origin of Kwanzaa? Where did it come from?
Kwanzaa started, was created in 1966 by Malala Kawinga, professor of African-American Studies at Berkeley. It basically started as a way of when others came to the table with their holidays, we came to the table uniquely wrapped and centered in our own holiday called Kwanzaa. And as you said, Maxine, Kwanzaa is not a religious holiday. It's not like Christmas or Hanukkah. It's not a religious holiday. It's a holiday that is cultural. It's about we come together around Kwanzaa, really around five core purposes. Number one, we come together around Kwanzaa to remember God and remember the Creator and what he has done for us throughout the year. And certainly this year has been such a trying time, but God has gone through. So that's one purpose behind Kwanzaa or gathering around, to remember the shoulders that we stand on, those who beat the path that we now walk through. We can't ever forget our ancestors. So we come together to remember them. We also come together to remember our history, our culture, our heritage. That makes us who we are. That centers us. And then we come together to remember our collective harvest, the work that we've done individually, but more importantly, as a community. What have we accomplished together? To remember those things that we worked hard together as a community to accomplish. And then the fifth reason why we come together around Kwanzaa is to recommit ourselves to our core, our fundamental values. And at a minimum, those are the seven core principles of Kwanzaa. Now,
all right, and so we're going to talk about that in just a moment, but let me move forward here a little bit, because what I want to do is enter into a dialogue with you, a conversation with you about those seven core principles, because I love what you said, is that Kwanzaa is not connected to a religious dogma. It is is about core values, and there are seven of them. And what I teach, Lillian, is that if we incorporate those values on a daily 365, 24/7, then that in itself will empower our community, right?
Again, it's not something to just lift up during this time, but it should be a part of your core value system.
Yes. So let's take a look at the first one, the first Kwanzaa value. And for those of you who do not know about Kwanzaa, it is celebrated or observed December the 26th through January 1. So for those 7 days, and each day has a principle associated with it. And so, Ms. Lillian, the first day is Umoja, which means unity. So what are we talking about there? Unity about what? What's up?
It's about unity, working together and moving together collectively, that we will always do everything that we can to promote unity in our community, in our family, in our people. And God knows we know that we need unity. And without unity, I think it's interesting that that's the first principle of Kwanzaa. I believe all of the principles would fall if it were not for unity. Without unity, it's impossible to build anything. And in some traditional West African languages, there is no word for I. You are part of the community. You are automatically taken care in the context of community. We need unity in our community.
Yes.
We so desperately need unity. And
absolutely. Especially now. And as you were talking, Lillian, my mind went back to Joy to Cry and her story about the Maasai warriors. And the question was, and how are the children? And what that really meant was, how are the most vulnerable in the community? And when we have unity, then we are watching out for the most vulnerable in our community, right?
Absolutely.
And so when I talk about it in my class, I have the students come up with a way, a practical way to apply or to look at each principle. And so for Umoja, we take a look at the damage of black-on-black crime, black-on-black murder. And, and we begin to take a look at the why. Why is that so prevalent in our community? And now let me ask you this. What role do you think learned self-hate has on black-on-black crime and murder?
Oh, a big role. If I don't love myself and you are a reflection of me, it's easy for me to shout because I don't love me.
Yes.
And that leads us straight into Kuchi Chakwelea.
Right. We're going to come to that. Yeah. So if we can get that unity and recognize that I really am my brother's keeper because my brother is me, but I, like you said, I got to have that first love. And for Christians, Jesus said that all the commandments hang to what?
That's right.
Love your brother as yourself. Love God first and love your brother as yourself, right? Yes. But I can't love my brother if I don't love me. I got to love me, right?
Absolutely.
So, absolutely. So that's the Umoja. Yeah. We got to join together and recognize the value of each other. And if I don't recognize value in myself, I can't recognize value in you.
So,
and so you've already told us.
And we have to reclaim and reconstruct. We have to reclaim and reconstruct that which was lost.
Whoa. How do you do that?
I think a lot of that has to do with understanding who you are.
Okay.
I've spent a big part of my life teaching young people the importance of knowing who are you, where you come from. Don't believe the hype.
Okay.
Who are you?
Okay.
Where do you? Because when
so
you understand
you led us
that,
right?
There you go.
Right.
Absolutely.
So you're leading straight into Kuchi Chakwelea.
Yes.
Right. So talk about Kuchi Chakwelea then. That means self-determination.
Self-determination. It means that we will be a people who are self-determining. That we will speak for ourselves. That we will name ourselves. That we will tell our own story. That we will not be named for by others. We won't let anybody else tell our story. But we have to know our story
story. We got to know it to tell it, right?
There you go.
And see, that's why the system doesn't want us to know it. That's why they fight against critical race theory. They don't want us to know our accurate story.
They don't want us to know. But you know what? You can't get angry with the system because it ain't up to the system. It's up to
all
us.
Right, now, say that.
We got to do it.
Say that.
We, and there's a saying, each one, reach one.
Each one.
We have a responsibility.
Yes.
We can no longer sit back and be quiet. We must do what we need to do. I think we need more rights of passage programs. Programs that will teach people how to be a man. What does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be a woman? And a part of that is how you define yourself. Nobody should define you. You should define yourself and
define
work
yourself.
In your own truth.
Yes.
But we
yes.
have been so traumatized. We have been so, and so we need to find that again. We have to go deep within ourselves and reconstruct that within us.
Absolutely. And so I'm reminded, Lillian. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Are you there? Okay. I'm reminded of an African boy who was in one of my classes, an African young man. And he was ashamed to say he was from Africa. He had taken on an English-speaking name, an American name, because he didn't want to tell people his African name. And by the time we worked our way through the all seven Kwanzaa principles, at the last day of class, I had them to share their presentation on a principle. They could choose any principle. He deliberately chose Kuti Chagalia, and he got up, Lillian, and he introduced himself by his African name. He told us where he was from. He said, "I am now defining myself, naming myself, and creating for myself. I have found my voice, girl." Now you talk about a shouting teacher.
I love it.
How powerful was that?
Yes.
That was powerful. And so we all can do that individually and collectively. That is awesome.
Absolutely.
So now the next principle is Ujima. Tell us about that.
Collective work and responsibility. It means the epitome of I am my brother's keeper, and we will live as you succeed individually, you bring that back to the community. So when you succeed, we all succeed. When I hurt, you hurt. And when you succeed, I succeed. I am my brothers and sisters. We will walk in a spirit of collective work and responsibility. That calls.
So Lillian, why is that so hard for us?
Again, because we walked away from who we really are. We've walked away from our traditional greatness. We've forgotten who we are. We've listened to someone else's. We've allowed it. I think what's interesting about the principles of Kwanzaa is they are all connected to one another. We don't work in, we don't walk in unity. We don't walk in self-determination. So it's very difficult to walk in collective work and responsibility.
One of the things about Ujima is that we take a look at the problems and we come together to solve them. And
absolutely.
I was talking to a judge today, and even though, for example, in our city, we recognize that we have a lot of issues and challenges around gun violence, around school behavior and unaddressed trauma, basically, is what it boils down to. And we're talking in silos. You have the mental health people talking over there, the courts talking over there, law enforcement talking over there. And so we're not coming together enough to solve the problems. It's almost like we're fighting against each other.
We do.
Right.
We do.
And I would dare say that that's learned behavior, too, that was taught to us by our captors.
Absolutely. That's a big part of it. But we have to break free from that, because that is what's causing us not to be able to move forward and work of Ujima, collective work and responsibility. We tend to be individualistic. It's all about me. But no, when you are succeeding, you need to bring whatever you bring back, bring that back to the community and lift this climb. And as practical as being a mentor, if you're in the church, and I'm always talking about this, discipling other young Christians. As a woman, a mature woman, mentoring other young women, bringing them alongside, making a way for their voice to be heard, and bringing them to the table. And not just bringing them to the table, but make sure when they get to the table that they are properly engaged.
All right. Absolutely. And for some reason, that is so hard. I remember at one point in my young life, when I lived in Indianapolis, I was seeking out a female minister, a mentor. I needed a female Christian mentor, right? And do you know I could not find anyone to mentor me? And I was looking for it, seeking for it, longing for it. Could not find it. And so
and we take,
now,
yeah.
Go on.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, even now, though, what I try to do is be a mentor, be that for other young women, almost to the point where, you know, I got too many people pulling on me, right? But I know what it's like not to have. And so it's like somebody say, okay, Dr. Brian, will you be my mentor? Will you be my mentor? Will you be my mentor? I'm like, yeah.
I get it. And it shouldn't even be like that, because there should be enough mentors. The village should come up. Come alongside, but that doesn't happen.
Wow.
As women, we have to learn how to move beyond certain things and come together.
Our girlfriends. Yes.
To support each other.
Put the pettiness aside.
Because we need each other. We need each other. I used to say, you know, all my friends are men. No, we need women that will mentor us.
Mm-hmm. We do.
Yeah.
Because we think differently. We are different than our male counterparts. And so we need each other, definitely. Good point. Excellent point. So let's talk about Ujamaa.
That means cooperative economics. Building our own shops, businesses, and profiting from those businesses together. It means building our community economically, supporting our own.
Uh-oh, are you talking about buying black?
That's a big part of it. Buying black, being cooperative, building community, and that's not that can be difficult, but we have to. I mean, I read somewhere the dollar stays, and it just sounds cliche, but it's true. The dollar stays in the Asian community for 30 days, in the Jewish community for 20, and in the African American community, it circulates for 6 hours. Shame. Isn't that crazy? We have huge buying power. Why are we not supporting our own businesses?
And we come up with so many excuses as to why. Lack of quality, the poor service, high prices. And if we supported each other, the prices would come down. Hello. Right?
Absolutely. And this is a problem that I have with that. Sometimes, I mean, the same thing, we get the same service from other folks who come into our community. We are much more forgiving.
But we are.
I won't go back anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, and there are two sides of that story. We need to operate in excellence, understood. But at the same time, we have to consider all of how we can come alongside and support each other. And be honest, if there's I have a business that I was talking to someone today about how I needed to go and talk to a particular business owner because I did not want to stop thinking. And I'm going to do that. I'm going to reach out and have a conversation.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Going to move right along. So I want to open up the lines. As a matter of fact, if you have something that you want to add to the conversation, you want to ask a question, go on and press 1 now, and we will get to you momentarily. Go on and press 1 now if you want to join in the conversation with Miss Lillian Grant Baptiste and myself. Yes. So, Lillian, the next principle is Nia, which means purpose. Let's talk about that.
You know, we will restore our community. And we know that purpose is so important to anything that we do. It's so important. Purpose is what helps us to discover which mountains we will climb, which mountains we will go around. Important. That's what focuses you. That's what gives you that focus. We need to be purposeful in the way that we come along and restore and come along beside each other in a spirit of cooperation. We have to learn how to do that and move forward in the spirit of purpose. Move forward with purpose and passion. We need that.
And I think that also
about restoring. Yes.
It points us back to our traditional greatness.
Yes,
you know, we need to remember who we came from. That, and you talked earlier about remembering on whose shoulders we stand, the greatness from our ancestors. But we can't do that if we don't know that.
Another thing
in my first book, I Want My Groove Back God's Way, I talk about purpose. And one of the things I say is identify that thing that you cannot not do. Like, I cannot not teach.
Right.
You know, you cannot not work with young people. That's your calling. That's your purpose.
Yeah.
Right. You know, Beverly Black Johnson cannot not connect people with other people. She cannot not do that. Right. So that's a clue in terms of why I'm here. What's my purpose?
Yeah.
And in terms of Black people, we need to recognize our purpose is building up each other. Because when one of us falls, the rest of us falls. It's a domino effect.
Absolutely. You better believe it. That's right. You are absolutely right.
Yeah. So then the next principle is Kuumba. What's that? Talk about that.
Creativity. That when we use our creativity, our unique gifts to make our the inherited more better than it, or more beautiful than we first inherited. So from that perspective, you can say it is an environmentally focused principle. It's about how you use your gifts, your creativity, how you make something from nothing. And we know that our people are awesome at taking nothing and making something. Creativity.
Okay.
How do you use your gifts? How do you use the gifts, the creativity that God has given you to make our community better, to give back to our families, our neighborhood, our community? Creativity, Kuumba. And Kuumba is the only one of the principles that is accompanied by a feast, the Karuma feast. And that's where during that time, we come together and we have everybody brings food, and that's the day that we eat together and we have a huge feast together and celebrate.
Awesome. And so I said, when I give this assignment to my students, they always have to come up with a practical way to practice a principle. And one of the things that they talked about is the whole thing about the community garden, right?
Yes.
That is a way to, let's talk about that for a moment.
Yes, the community garden. I mean, being able to plant and grow your own food. That also incorporates self-determination, being determined enough to grow your own food and live that. You determine what's good for you, and you plant that food. That's a part of self-determination as well as Kuumba, using your resources, your gifts, and your talents to make your community more beautiful.
Absolutely.
With food insecurity. So, definitely.
And when you think when you think about it, we are such a creative people. I'm looking at artwork that I have purchased from various artists that are going to band, and then on this Saturday, the Gullah Geechee Center at Georgia Southern is going to have a soft opening and have a basket weaver, a visual artist, a quilt, a metal art. I mean, you know, we come to the table with so much natural creativity, you know. And, you know, I love spoken words. So that's my contribution to Kuumba, right? To offering up my creative gift. And you do storytelling, right? And so we all have something that we can bring to the table to offer up our own God-given creativity to lead this earth, right, our community, more beautiful and more beneficial than when we inherited it. So also want to remind our callers, if you have something you want to add to the conversation, press 1 and we will recognize you as a caller. So the last principle of Kwanzaa is Imani. Let's talk about that, Ms. Lillian.
Faith that we will receive with all of our hearts in our teachers, our parents, each other, and the justice of our hearts. Powerful. Because guess what? I think it's interesting that the book holders of the principles of Kwanzaa are unity and faith, because I believe without unity, nothing can be built. But without faith, nothing can be sustained or maintained. Nothing can be sustained without faith.
All right now.
Faith. And faith isn't always easy. You got to work to have faith. Faith is something to think for, but not yet faith.
Right.
That's what the word teaches us. We have to have faith in each other. And faith and the struggle, our struggle, because we are always a people that are in constant struggle. And the justice of our cause, that's powerful.
Faith. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's a good hit on faith. Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And faith in our people, faith in our struggle.
Absolutely.
And believing that we can come out of the struggle. And the struggle is tiring. I was telling some people at the campus this week, I am suffering from racial battle fatigue, Lillian, because I've been in the fight for a long time at my campus, and I'm tired. But I got to have faith that my struggle is not in vain, right? That the people who are coming after me, right, will stand under the foundation that I'm laying, that I'm standing on the foundation of my ancestors, right? So that
faith
is so powerful, as you said. It is so powerful. Well, girlfriend, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for lending your expertise, your knowledge. You have been awesome. This has been girl. I'm excited. I'm excited that you were able to be on the show tonight. And so for my listening audience, I want to leave you with some last words. Here's what I'd like you to do. I want you to strive for discipline, dedication, and achievement in all you do. Dare to not only struggle, but stay in the struggle. Make the sacrifice, and then to gain the strength that comes from your doing that, because it's not going to be in vain. You will be better for it, and the people behind you will be better for it. Build where you are. Dare to leave a legacy.
Yes.
Daily Umoja, Kuchi Chagalia, Ujima, Ujamaha, Nia, Kuumba, and Imani. Practice those principles daily.
Yes.
And then our prayer is, may the wisdom of the ancestors always walk with us. May the years in meet us laughing and leave us stronger. May our children honor us by following our example in love and in the struggle. And at the end of next year, may we sit together again in larger numbers with greater achievements and closer to liberation and a higher level of life. And so to my people, I say to you, Happy Kwanzaa, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Continue to listen to news about the future of Criminalized by Color on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, and those of you who I have your number, I'm going to text you. So I say to you, peace and blessings, my people. We always end out with glory, and there's a line in glory I want to say to you before we end. Somewhere in the dream, we had an epiphany. Now we have the opportunity to right the wrongs in history. No one can win the war individually.
Yeah.
It takes the wisdom of the elders and the young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory, the coming of the Lord, my eyes have seen the glory. Dr. Maxine Bryan signing off. Thank you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure.
The heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it goes down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots we on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. When the war is won, we will be sure. We will be sure. Oh, glory.
Glory.
Oh,
glory.
Glory.
Now
the war is not over. Victory isn't won. But we'll fight on.
Every man, woman, and child. Even Jesus got his crown in front of a crowd. They march with the torch, we gon' run with it now. Never look back, we done gone hundreds of miles. From dark roads, heroes, to become a hero. Facing the League of Justice, his power was the people. Enemy is lethal, a king became regal. Saw the face of Jim Crow under a bald ego. The biggest weapon. It's to stay peaceful, we sing. Our music is the cuts that we bleed through. Somewhere in the dream we had an epiphany. Now we right the wrongs in history. No one can win a war individually. It takes the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory. The coming of the Lord, my eyes have seen the glory.
One day.